Oh, my goodness.
Did such a wonderful job singing. Amazing. And what do we got here? It is The Legend of the Christmas Tree. It's amazing. Spoiler alert. It's amazing. You're going to love it. I don't think I've read it before.
Yes, you have.
But I'm sure it's going to be amazing. All right. Look at all the anticipation here. All right. Tonight's the night we get our Christmas tree. Amanda and Beth Johnson sang and squealed. Presents, presents, presents. Buddy, their younger brother, chanted. Mom saw a wrinkled brow expression on Dad's face that stole part of his smile. Why is Christmas so much about trees, decorations, and gift-getting? Dad grumbled. I like trees and presents too, Mom said, trying to iron the creases out of his brow. Yeah, I guess, Dad said out loud. But he was thinking, I would love Christmas that's more than manger and its meaning that is about spending money. Dinner's ready, Mom called. You guys don't like presents though, right, too? You don't like presents at all? Okay. A blast of inviting smells, plump with Christmas memories, greeted the children as they thundered into the kitchen and gathered round the table for dinner. Dad began with prayer. Lord, thank you for providing us for all of the fun Christmases and for this wonderful food. Please help us find ways to make the birth of your son, Jesus, a bigger part of our celebration. When the prayer was done, the clash and clatter of clutter against the Christmas dishes rang out at the Johnsons, served up their traditional get the Christmas tree night dinner. After the family had filled with meatballs, scalloped potatoes, and sweet baby carrots, okay, we probably should move on here. I'm getting hungry just reading this. Mom pushed back from the table and sounded the battle cry. Let's get the Christmas tree! It didn't take long for five satisfied tummies to find their 10 excited feet. Minutes later, everyone was snug in a warm winter gear and headed outside. Dad pulled the family 4x4 out onto the snowy blanket road. The annual hunt for the family tree was on. Can we get a really big Christmas tree this year, Amanda? Said the oldest. Asked as she leaned forward in excitement. Dad's brow started to wrinkle once again. I don't think that we can afford a big one right now, dear. Well, why don't we just go to the tree farm and cut ours down? Mom suggested. That's a great idea, Dad suggested. 20 minutes later, they drove into the thick, soupy fog. It seemed obvious to everyone except Dad that they were lost. There it is, called Buddy. He pointed to a small sign that suddenly appeared out of the foggy night. Dad turned in and bounced slowly down a long, narrow driveway until it came to a clearing where a snack shack and roaring fire welcomed them. A grandfatherly man dressed in a red flannel shirt, green denim overalls, and a large smile gave them an excited wave as he had been expecting them. As a group trudged into the clearing, they noticed a strange sight. Three large, perfect Christmas trees set up in a beautiful wrought iron stands. All three were identical in height and shape, but each was decorated differently. Beneath the last tree sat a lone box. Its silver wrapping paper caught the glimmer of the flickering fire. It almost seemed to glow. Beth, the second oldest, stared curiously at the trees. Why do you have those trees set up that way? She asked. What's in the box? Amanda asked. The trees and the secret in the box tell the legend of the Christmas tree, their host explained. A legend? Tell us, Buddy bleated. The tree farmer looked at Mom and Dad. Well, I guess we have some time, said Mom. But first, let's get some goodies from the snack shack. Well, once everyone had a dark chocolate brownie in one glove and a tall mug of marshmallow-topped hot cocoa in the other, they followed the farm to warm log seats by the fire. This book's getting me pretty hungry. I don't know what's going on here, but I think this is a setup. With a grin, the farmer wiped his oversized mustache, checking for stray marshmallow, and started his story. Well, at first, cutting down a small evergreen had nothing to do with Christmas. It started over 1,000 years ago when a monk named Boniface used an evergreen tree as a way to tell people about God. Dad looked up from his hot chocolate. Really? The Christmas tree told about God? Yeah, said the storyteller. Went on. Boniface explained that people, that just as the tree had three corners, but was still one tree. So God is one God who exists in three persons. You guys know who the three persons are? Good job. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Soon people wanted to teach like Boniface and were cutting down trees and hanging them up in churches. And from there, the legend of the Christmas tree began. The storyteller moved to the first tree. During the time, knights and castles, people celebrated a special holiday on December 24th and called it the Feast of Adam and Eve. They decorated evergreen trees with apples and twists of bread to tell the story of the tree in the Garden of Eden. I know that story. Buddy had finished his brownie. Adam and Eve ate some fruit from the tree in the garden that God told them not to touch. So God sent them out of the garden. But how did Adam and Eve tree end up being about Jesus' birthday? Amanda asked as the fire crackled suddenly and the silver box glittered. The farmer smiled at Amanda and continued, well, the story about Adam and Eve bringing sin into the world wasn't complete without the story of Jesus. Over the years, people added other kinds of decorations that told the story of Jesus' birth. Flowers, fruit, wafers. These decorations stood for other parts of the story of Jesus. But the decorated tree wasn't a Christmas tree. Not yet. The storyteller then took two giant steps and stood by the second tree. A long time ago, before electric lights were invented, and after Christmas had been chosen as the day to celebrate Jesus' birth, a church leader named Martin Luther was on his way home after a late Christmas Eve church service. As he walked, he saw starlight reflecting off of the icicles that hung from the small evergreen tree. Dad was listening so carefully that he forgot to drink his hot chocolate. Buddy, always wanting to help, drank it for him. None of you are like that, right? Yeah. Martin Luther cut down that little tree and set it up in his home. He put candles on it. He used it on Christmas Day to tell his children the story of the birth of Jesus, who came to die for our sins and became the light of the world. The storyteller's big boots moved him beside the third tree. Oh, that tree's my favorite, said Beth, grappling at the flickering white lights and the many gorgeous decorations. Soon after that, people in Europe began decorating trees for Christmas, much as we do today. They decorated with beautiful glass ornaments, trinkets, and tempting treats. This was their way of celebrating Jesus' birth. Oh, I see, Dad said, lost in thought as he tried to drink his empty mug. A moment later, cold, big flakes melted on his face, brought him back from his thoughts. That's the legend of the Christmas tree, the big man said. What a cool story, Amanda said, watching her brother trying to catch a snowflake on his tongue. Dad, can we get a tree now? Buddy asked. Yeah. Dad's face was decorated with a big, huge smile. He knew what he was going to do. Let's get a big, beautiful Christmas tree, just like one of those. All three children cheered and danced in the snow. I have just the one, declared the farmer, as he marched right over to a large tree leaning against the snack shack. Mom saw the reserve sign, and the farmer cut off the tree and slipped it in his pocket. But wasn't that tree reserved just for you? The storyteller interrupted her with a wink. Short while later, the tree was tied tightly to the top of the 4x4. Just before they pulled out, the farmer handed Dad the silver gift wrap box. No shaking or peeking, and don't open it until you finish decorating your tree. Everyone cheered with a chorus of "Thank you!" as they waved goodbye. The children watched out the frosted back window of the 4x4 as the jolly tree farmer, still waving, faded into the fog and a current of gentle following snow. The next morning was the last Saturday before Christmas. Outside, it was wintry and white, but inside, the smell of pancakes and needles filled the warm house. Amanda helped Dad wrestle the tree into the stand. Beth and Buddy helped in the kitchen and tried to sneak a peek under the tea towels covering two large cookie sheets on the counter. Man, I'm really getting hungry reading this book. I'll tell you that right now. But Mom's smile let the kids know that this was her surprise. Everyone looked forward to decorating the Christmas tree, but Dad, well, he seemed almost too excited. He had been whistling and singing Christmas carols all morning, and he didn't let little things like singing on key or even getting the words right stop him. "Let's decorate the tree," Dad half called and half sang as he placed the silvery, glittering box under the tree. "I cannot wait until I find out what it is. Oh, my goodness." Who remembers what Boniface showed the people at his time with a bare evergreen tree? Dad asked when everyone stood admiring the tree. "That, just like the tree, is one tree and yet has three corners. So God is one God who exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," Amanda answered quickly. Now Mom brought the cookie sheet from the kitchen and uncovered her creations, made from golden brown gingerbread shaped as bread twists and apples. "Can we just eat one?" Beth asked. "One twist each, but take a lesson from Adam and Eve and stay away from the apples," Mom said, and everyone laughed. While the Johnson family hung gingerbread cookie apples and twists, they talked about what had happened in the Garden of Eden. Then as the kids helped Mom string lights around the tree, Dad did what Martin Luther had done long, long ago. He read the story of Jesus' birth. The last thing the family did was to open boxes and dig out their favorite ornaments and hang them on the tree. The last ornament was barely on the tree when Beth reached for the silver box. "The tree farmer said that we could open it now." "Go ahead, Beth, open it for us," Mom told her. The whole family huddled around Beth on the floor. When she was done ripping the paper, she reached in the box and carefully pulled out a beautiful glass star. "Wow, that's stunning," Mom said, wide-eyed. "What does the tag say?" Amanda wondered. Dad, with tears in his eyes, read the handmade note that hung from the star on the delicate silver cord. "Just as a wise man found Jesus under the star of Bethlehem, may all who see this tree that is under the star hear and understand the true meaning of Christmas." Everyone cheered as Dad placed the star on top of the tree. Then they stood back and silently stared at the tree. It seemed to all of them that this was the most beautiful tree that they had ever done. Dad broke the silence as he wrapped his arms around the family. "I'm glad God gave us trees and decorations and gifts to help us celebrate the true meaning of Christmas." The end. All right. Well, what I want to do is take just a minute, because I know you guys aren't interested in gifts or anything. So we'll sit here for a while, okay? Is that all right? Or unless you guys want me to open your presents for you. Is that okay?
No.
I can help you out with that. I want to read the story about Christmas and about Jesus and about his birth. You guys remember the story about Jesus' birth? Where he was born in a manger, no climate control, no cable TV, born with the chickens and the ducks and the cows, right? How'd you like to be born in a stall like that? Yeah. So we read out of Matthew, and I like Matthew because it tells us about the birth of Jesus. Now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When, as his mother, do you remember who his mother was? Mary, right. Mary was espoused to who?
Joseph.
Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. When Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, an angel of the Lord appeared in him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not, but take Mary as your wife. For what is she has conceived of her is from the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name. You guys are laser sharp today. And he shall save his people from their sins. And all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord, prophesying, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name,
Emmanuel.
Which means, you guys got a cheat sheet up there. That's awesome. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep of the angel, did what the Lord had bid him to. And in Matthew 2:1, it says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod of the king. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which is the same city from who? He slayed Goliath. David, right? So he was from the city of David, King David. Yes. There's lots of names for Jesus. You're right. Absolutely, guys. And that is the abridged version of the story of Jesus' birth. All right. We will turn it over to exciting stuff. More exciting stuff. A couple of minutes will be the most attentive that these kids have ever been. Right? No distractions at all. Is there anything back there for me? No? All right. Oh, well, there's a few right here. I'll just take one of these, right? Yay. Well, I'm going to start a 12-part series right now. Praise the Lord. We're going to dig into the original Greek and Hebrew. And I'm going to read out of the King James. So, yeah, we'll hurry up. Amen. Well, next Sunday, Candlelight Communion. Guys, it's one of my favorite services. We get together. It's great. I love it. It's just a very intimate time, the Holy Spirit, to receive communion as a family, so you don't want to miss it. And so, of course, we'll hopefully see you, you know, definitely before Christmas. So again, no Friday night service, but let's just go ahead and end in prayer. Amen. You know, again, we thank you, Jesus, this morning for what you've done for us. Father, we thank you for sending the greatest gift that we could ever receive, which is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, to redeem us. Came as a little baby, developed, grew in wisdom and stature in the book of Mark, and had favor with God and man. We thank you for Jesus. We can never repay you, who became and referred to himself as the Son of Man. Jesus, we thank you that you are God incarnate, Emmanuel, which is God with us, but you identified with humanity. You, God, identified with weak, sinful, fallen man as your greatest creation, your prized possession, the one you loved. Paul tells us that we would be able to comprehend what the breadth, length, depth, and height of the love of God is for us. And again, we pray this year and this season that we have a revelation of your love that has been poured out on us through your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, praise the Lord. All right, well, have a great week. We will see you on Sunday. And you can open your presents. Okay.